Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's Place to Talk.
Hip, hip, hooray, let's give a cheer. It's 9 a.m., the signal's clear. Our favorite host is in the chair. The Truman Show is on the air.
It's the Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County.
The Truman Show is on the air. The Truman Show is on the air.
From Sylvan Park Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street, Truman Jones is on News Radio WGNS.
Good morning, Rutherford County. You know, the good thing about being over here at Sylvan Park, I know that Andy Herger is scheduled to be on this morning. I don't know really what happened to him.
Well, he's on his way.
I never have any problem because of all my buddies over here that are so talented. I've got Avon Lane, who is mostly a musician. But part of his talent, of course,
is a ham.
You are a ham. and I remember the old days.
That's a country ham now. That's me.
Yeah, but I can remember when you and I would ride together as officers for the Rutherford County Sheriff's Department, and you would get out these ham radios.
CB radio.
And
it was an important tool of law enforcement at that time.
It was a tool for driving me crazy. You know, there are some things that I enjoy listening to. But there's a time when you have to just kind of back away from it. You were always trying
this conversation.
You were trying to lure these poor semi drivers doing something that they shouldn't do. It was like what was it? The bandit.
I was Smokey and
Smokey and the bandit.
Right.
It reminded me of that.
Back in those days.
And the thing about it is, you guys did fit because you're the Jackie Gleason of entertainment. You really are. And you can put on that hat and you look just like him. But you have been part of the entertainment community here in Rutherford County for a lot of years.
Well, be that as it may, I don't know. You know, however big an entertainment community, we have a lot of fun anyway, folks. And we got a lot of really talented people in this county. It's pretty amazing. I remember when I didn't play in Nashville very much because I'd go down there and they'd want you to play on Lower Broad 5 hours for $20 a man.
Yeah.
And it's like, I did that a few weeks back when I was younger, and I said, this is stupid. Mm-hmm. So I started playing back up toward, you know, Murfreesboro, mm-hmm. Manchester, Tullahoma, all the places around, Shelbyville, little American Legions, AmVets, Officer Club in Tullahoma, and made a whole lot more money playing those places and had a whole lot more fun. And what was funny, the guys that were on the road mm-hmm. with all those big stars, they'd come in, and they would have like a week or 2 weeks or whatever off time, and they wanted some place to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they wanted to make up a little money. So I started making connection with these guys. So I'd have guys like Chuck Bartlett. He's passed on. He was a steel player for Kitty Wells and mm-hmm. Johnny Wright. So Chuck would come down, and he'd get into town. He'd call me and say, hey, man, you gigging anywhere or whatever? And I'd always somehow or another make an extra slice of the pie to get this cat to play, because man, it was good. But those kinds of guys would show up, you know, and that was a wonderful thing. So over the years around here, I've had an opportunity to play with some really incredible musicians, you know. And the better musicians you have, the level of the music gets better and better and better and better. So I've been pretty lucky. I've really enjoyed it. But I've always stayed out of Nashville. Of course, right now I'm playing in Nashville more than I am anywhere. But
why would you do that? But do you actually follow the money?
No.
You guys,
I quit doing that years ago.
I've been around you long enough to know that you really enjoy each other's company and you love the sound because you've gotten so used to each other. When you come in on Friday mornings, you really don't have to practice much. You know what the other guy's going to be doing.
You know, after 50 years of playing music, if you don't have it down now, you know, practice is always good. Let me say that in arranging and getting together. Hey, always. That's the smart thing to do if you can. But if you can, but there's a difference between practicing and being able to play. If you can't play after 50 years of playing, you need to stay home. You need to know the musics and everything. And the stuff that we play is stuff that we know. You know, I'm not going to go out and try to do all the new stuff on the radio. I don't know it, you know. Whether I like it or not, is there's some good stuff out there and there's some stuff that I don't particularly care for. But that would entail learning those tunes and getting them down correctly. And that's what I would tell any musician, young or old, is that, you know, if you're going to, you know, you need to, you know, learn the tune. Somebody, you know, it's like doing honky-tonking is like this. And there's not many honky-tonk bands around anymore. There's a lot of wannabe honky-tonk bands.
Not many honky-tonks around anymore.
Well, there's still some out there, but not like the old like the old ones. But somebody in the group or the band has got to know the song. And, you know, and everybody can watch him or listen to him. And they can lead, you know, that can lead you through the tune. That's what I do a whole lot on stuff I don't know. I watch the guitar player, or I'm listening to the rhythm player, and I'm hearing where the changes are heading. And I've been doing it so long, I'm able to pull that off that way. I thought about getting a T-shirt made about Nashville, that practicing would be cheating. And only other musicians get that. But that's not a good thing to say. I know my friend Larry Pinkerton's going to go through the roof when he hears that because
he's a great guitarist.
Oh, he is one of the best, if not the best.
Yeah.
But he works hard at it. I mean, I've seen people say, oh, you know, people always say, oh, you're so talented. Mm-hmm. Oh, it comes so easy. That's no. It doesn't come easy. Great players work their tails off and practice and work and work. And it's hard work. My problem is I'm pretty lazy. I like to try to just have a big time.
I noticed that when you and I were working together.
Well, hey, what can I say? But I got the job done.
we have a wealth of talent right here in Rutherford County. And why is it that... There are very few places to go play. In fact, a lot of musicians play for free just so that they get to be part of the entertainment industry.
And I would tell those musicians, don't play for free. Put your hat
down. Does it bother you guys?
It bothers guys that try to make a little money at it. There's three reasons. There was a gentleman, a guy named Charlie Christian, and this has been attributed to him, and it's been attributed to other musicians over the years. Charlie Christian was one of the first jazz guitarists that brought it to modern jazz kind of level. Great, incredible guitar player. He said he was playing one night, and it was an awful gig. It sounded awful. Mm-hmm. There wasn't any money. And he just wasn't learning anything. And he said, what am I doing here? Mm-hmm. So he made it a rule. There had to be three reasons or one of three reasons or partial reasons to play. Mm-hmm. One would be an incredible musical experience or making a lot of money or learning something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't have to be, all three. It doesn't have to be 100% of one, and 10% of one and 20. You know, it has to be, those elements have to be there. And I tell any musician, if you're not getting something out of that, in one of those three things, stay home. I mean, because you're wasting your time. And I've played gigs like that I've kind of got in my old age, I'm not going to do, if it's not. Not it didn't have those elements in there, and I do, you know, you put the money out there and I'll become trotting. But there's all, you can have it all.
Yeah.
And when you get it all, you're making a decent amount of money, and the musicianship is incredible. And like the thing we do on Friday, man, sometimes we do that thing, Truman, this is as good as you can get it, you know.
Well, last Friday was the classic example. You guys have been, which I think is what you guys should be playing all the time, is country western music. I just absolutely love it. Of course, I love most types of genres of music. I even love classical music. I will turn it on 91.1 every once in a while, and just so I can.
I bet Greg and his lovely wife will appreciate you.
Well, now Mentriette would. Now, that lady, I tell you what, she has done more for classical music.
Yeah, we have
right here in our own community.
People don't
know
how
the Murfreesboro Symphony. They do such a wonderful job. Actually, I'm going to have Fran Campbell on tomorrow.
Oh, right.
And we're going to be talking about the Murfreesboro Symphony, maybe going more to the Tennessee type symphonies. Instead of just reaching out to the local, they're going to reach out all the way across the state of Tennessee. And oh, the music is just unbelievable. It's beautiful. But what I was going to say is, you guys, last Friday, it's the top 100 country western songs. Mm-hmm. And you did Ghost Riders in the Sky.
Yeah.
I have never heard it done better. I remember when Vaughn Monroe first came out with that, and I was just mesmerized by it. But you guys did the same thing to me last Friday.
That's good.
Because
I
can't play music. Well, I never have tried. But I do have an ear for music, and you guys really hit it last Friday.
Well, that's a classic example. We didn't practice it. Yeah, other than just look at what key we're going to do it in, and some things, some tools that you got to know the key and how fast, you know, things like that. We know that tune. Over, you know, the years, all those guys, we know that tune, and we love that tune. Mm-hmm. So that's what's so magical about when you have those kinds of things that musicians that haven't played together but are good musicians, you put that combination there. There can be magic, and it can come in. I'll tell you what, I would rather play with good craftsmen musicians, mm-hmm. guys that know how to play their instrument, than playing with five virtuosos. Because I played with guys that were like the best of the best on their instruments, four mm-hmm. or five guys, and played with guys that were just good, solid musicians. And always the ensemble always sounded better when it was guys that were taskmasters that knew what they were doing and not trying to show out how great they were.
Yeah.
It's like that's one of the problems that happens. You'll see that in jam sessions a lot. You would think it would be incredible to be great musicians or virtuosos, and it just won't kick like it should. But
why is it so hard to make it in the business right now? And I think it runs all the way across all types of genres. But especially in country western, of course, we all grew up listening to country western songs. And that was just like the Sons of the Pioneers. Nobody sings like them, especially the original Sons of the Pioneers. It's such a beautiful melody, and it's so relaxing.
But you guys
can hit it very, very well.
I'll tell you why it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It's the rarity of it. That you don't find that very much around. People aren't studying that. They're trying to... The music industry, as most industries and everything, is about the bottom line, money and all that. And we can talk about that. You know, that's been beat to death about the problem that money calls the tail. And it does mm-hmm. in commercial music. It's about how much you can, the least amount you can put in to get a product out that you can sell.
Mm-hmm.
And it's promotion and selling and all that, and that's where it's all tied to. I'm not saying it's necessarily bad, but I don't think people, the general public, ever get to hear the very best of the very best. The only way you can do that, I've gone into high schools and watched like the drum lines and the bands, you know, at these contests that high schools mm-hmm. have. I've heard some of the most incredible music done in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But the general public doesn't even know about that kind of stuff because they can't. I asked a guy named Lalo Davila, who's head of one of the departments over at Great Percussionist, and his wife, Julie. I asked him, I said, Lala, why isn't this, not knocking the cheerleader thing on television, those championships mm-hmm. and stuff, why aren't these drum lines and these bands and these contests that they have in high school, why aren't they on the national scene there? People would just love to see those.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, well, he says, it's too good. I said, what do you mean? I says, they can't manipulate it. The big-time corporate media yeah. folks, they can't yeah. manipulate it. They can't make it into something than other than what it is. And they can't squeeze the money out because there's no money in it anyway. It's all volunteered.
Mm-hmm.
But it's things like I wish we could get out to the – it's like classical music. I wish it was more available. It used to be in the 30s. I'm beating the drum now, but the organ music, everybody heard organ music. On
yeah,
the radio.
Yeah.
They knew who the best organist was in the world, the average person walking around. How many kids now even know what a big church organ is or a pipe organ is, how it sounds? I played some music for a guy, a great guitar player, young fella, and he knew I worked on church organs. He said, well, what's the deal with these organs? I've heard them. I said, come with me. And I took him to the house, and I hooked up my stereo system, and I put... Remember the Disney thing, Fantasia?
Yeah.
Remember that movie?
Yeah, I do.
They had a classical piece on there called Night on Ball Mountain. It's mm-hmm. a fugue and E or something like that, but it's an incredible piece. And I've got a stereo system that will knock the walls down. And this guy was what you call a shredder. I mean, a rock and roll, one of those guys with the long hair and
yeah.
get into it. And, hey, some of that stuff is really good.
Not to me.
Well, some of it is really entertaining, and some of those cats can really play. But he was sitting there looking and listening to it, and his mouth dropped open. He goes, wow, man, I didn't know that could sound like that. I said, yeah. He said, you need to expand to listen to all kinds of music. There's some stuff out there that will blow your mind if you just listen to it.
You know, I think when we've got... the audio part, you know, we used to listen to the records many, many years ago, and there was something about just the sound, not watching the singers and bouncing around all over the place.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
There was something about the sound that really caught my attention more than anything else. And of course, you and I grew up in an era where the girlfriends and the boyfriends would call in the radio station and ask for specific
yeah.
songs to be sung yeah. for their
Gary
loved
Davis.
Ones. Yeah, Gary, I used to go up there and spend some of them with him many, many years ago. But when we were in high school, and it was one of the more fun things, but let's run all the way across the spectrum. Acting back in the 30s and the 40s and even in the early 50s was so much better back then than it is now. It's all about what you can create visually that makes a movie now. It's not the acting that does it. And I still think that the music was so much better
right.
when it was being played on a 45 or whatever, and you could just sit there and enjoy the sound without all the interruptions.
Oh, amen. Amen to that. You're preaching to the choir. You know, you don't know what you're getting, especially in the movies you see. I mean, that's what kind of is frightful to me is visually, things can be manipulated so well
yeah.
now, and people can be look like they're doing something, and they weren't even there.
Yeah, know?
And that bothers me. I don't know how much of the news and stuff like that isn't manipulated that way.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a bit, and we all know about Facebook and those things. How I don't think anybody gives them any credibility or viability. Anybody that's a thinking individual, you know, this is a bunch of junk going on.
Yeah.
And it's losing its Steam. I think Facebook is dying on one side, Twitter and all that. I hope so. People are finally waking up to the point that this is just, it's nothing. You know, we got, there's other things a lot more important. But live entertainment.
Don't you think that people like you and the band with Johnny B and Mickey, and Shane. We got Shane now.
And Gary.
And Gary. I miss Gary.
Yeah, me too.
Miss you, Gary. But anyway, if you got, there are certain songs that Johnny B has written.
And
back in the 50s, these would be top songs. Nationally, they would be top 10 songs. It's almost impossible to get that done right now as far as going on nationally.
Let me tell you a story. John had a tune called "Where Did the Love Go" when I first met John, and I thought, boy, it's a very sad tune. It's about a man and his wife growing out of love over years, and the song is done. It's very, very heart-rending, but it's a great tune. And I thought, man, this thing's got some real validity to it. So over a few months, I said, John, do you mind if I take this to some folks that I know that are the real deal and get them to look and see if you can do something with this? And those folks that are in that business, I won't say who the gentleman was, but he's a big-time cat. He has like this apartment, this three-story house on 16th Avenue that is full of songwriters in there. You go into each room, there's a computer and a digital audio workstation, a guitar player, and another writer, and they're cranking this stuff out for the national market. And this guy, so the only reason I know
these are the type of songs that you only listen to. You don't like the old records
This is what is, it's commercial music. What is being put out. And it was an eye-opener to me. But anyway, I asked him. The only reason I got to meet this guy, I worked on his piano. I work on electronic pianos, digital pianos and things. That's what I do. Part of the thing's what I do. And I got a call from the company that made the piano, Kauai, and said, need to go fix this guy's piano. They'll send me the parts. They sent me the parts, and I go down there, and I got looking to who this guy was. I said, "Whoa, I'd heard of him." So I was real tempted to say, "Hey, I've got a tune I want you." And I said, "No, I'm not going to do that. He gets that all the time." So I didn't even mention it. And then later on, he had another piano. About a month later, a different piano. I became his tech guy. Went down there and fixed it. And then I asked him, I said, "Look, I want to ask you something." And I looked at him, I said, "You know what I'm going to ask too, don't you?" And he kind of smiled and said, "You got a song, don't you?" And I said,
"Oh, no, not another one."
And bless his heart, I told him, "Look, if you don't want to hear it, don't, you're not going to hurt my feelings. I just want to, all I want to do is see, is this a valid thing? Can this something be, should we go after it, try to do something with it?" And he said, "Well, I'd rather not." I said, "Fine, don't worry about it. And then I got everything done, and I started leaving. He said, "Hey, send me an MP3 of it. I'll take a listen to it."
What's
it
an MP3?
That's the podcast that people listen to on the radio. Yeah. That's an MP3 that when they hear you on the podcast. But he says, "Go ahead and send me an MP3 of it." And across the internet, which is wonderful. You can send this stuff across the country, you know, just instantaneous. So I sent him a copy of the tune. And he told me, he said, "It may be a few weeks before you hear from me, you know, busy." And it, sure enough, it was a few weeks, but he sent me an email back. And he said, "Hey, I listened to the tune. It's a great song. Nice tune. Well done."
Who was performing in this one?
John. It was John Blankenship. And we just did a real simple demo of him playing guitar, and I don't even know if Gary was doing a lead on it, but I'm playing bass, just backing him up. Just real simple, real clean, to get the idea of the tune and the sound. Simple chords, so it's nothing innovative about the, you know, million songs have the same kind of chord changes.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's the idea of the tune, and John singing it. Sent it to him, and anyway, he sent it back. Said it was fine tuned and everything. He says, "But I got to tell you, I can't use it."
And, whoa!
And I went, "Oh darn!" And then he says, "But let me explain why." He says, "Understand, Avon, I'm a 64-year-old man writing and producing music for 18, 19, 20-year-old people in Nashville. This would not go with what they're wanting for the commercial market. But this is not saying it's not a valid tune. It's a good tune. This is, you know, years back, it would have been a really one to try to go after. But in today's market, no.
Do you think they're judging that correctly when you say this is not going to go in the market for 18, 19? And here he is, a 64-year-old guy, saying this is not. But you know.
Well, that's the way it's always been.
I know, but you don't have to be pushed in a corner because, you know, there's even young people like good music every once in a while.
Kids that have heard that tune like it. They really like it.
And I don't.
But people that are in their 30s and 40s get it because they have the life experiences, maybe not personally, but they've seen these things happen that happened in that tune, so they have a lot more meaning.
Isn't really good music, doesn't it cross the boundaries of age?
Yeah, it should. It should. It should. It should. But as with anything, the reason kids are kids is because they're young. They don't know a lot yet. Life experiences are hard.
But the sound, I mean, that's why I like better than I do actually having the visual part.
But the kids, you're right, kids are into the sound.
Yeah.
They like the beat, they like that bass, they like all that stuff. That, you know, that's what they're into. But things evolve, and things come back around. I think what's fascinating, the things I'm doing with Elaine Winters and
beautiful
Everett
violin,
Everett Brown,
yeah.
Rob Piercy. We're going to be. Oh, by the way, we're going to be at the Battlefield this Saturday. This coming Saturday, we're going to do a show. You know, it's the Home Sweet Home band. And we've got, I can't think of Amanda's last name, beautiful girl. We're going to, you know, it's like Stephen Foster tunes, all these old Civil War, pre-Civil War tunes. And people, a lot of people, oh, that's that old music. And I tell them, say, look.
Yeah, it's beautiful music.
Just come and listen to it and take your prejudices about old music and what that's about. The problem with old music, if you hear recordings of old music, sometimes they weren't very well in tune. And that's just the nature of the beast sometimes. But you hear the tunes done honestly and as good as they can be done. Man, they are incredible tunes out there. Stephen Foster wrote so many things. But she does one. We do one called Dear Sister. I think the lady that wrote was Claire Lynch. What was her name? I can't think of her name. It seemed like it was Claire Lynch. Great tune, but it's about Stones River.
Yeah.
It's about the battlefield. It's about what happened that night. It's about the, as the night went on just before the battle,
yeah.
Big battle the next day, the regimental bands on each side, and there were more than one regimental band. You know, the Yankees had one, and the Confederates had bands.
Yeah.
They would do tunes and kind of throw them at each other. One side would do Hail Columbia, and then the Confederates would do Dixie, and this went on most of the night.
Ooh, I just stood at attention.
But, you know, they were enjoying it, and as the night ended, one side started Home Sweet Home,
and the other
band on the other side of the river picked it up and started playing it in unison with them. Here's brothers fighting each other. I mean, the next day is going to be horrible. And somebody wrote, it's a letter this guy wrote on to his sister. The name of the tune is called Dear Sister.
Yeah.
And he says, at that moment, if somebody from either side had walked to the middle of the river and shook hands, we could have ended the war right there. Let's stop this mess. But it didn't happen. But it's such a haunting thing, if you're sitting there listening to it, I guarantee you, you'll get a tear. It's hard for me to play it. I mean, I get emotional about it just talking about it. Because in that battlefield over there, you're in the battlefield, you're around where it happened, and all that, all these things are kicking in, and Amanda, the lady that sings it, she does such a good job. And, of course, Rob and Elaine are, you know, playing beautifully behind it. And I'm doing the bass. But it says that's where music is the most powerful.
It really is.
The feeling of how folks felt in that day and in that time and in that place.
It can pull emotions out of you that nothing else can. Is those just haunting sounds. And you think back, you know, a lot of people don't realize. I know that when I was in the service, they say, boy, are you guys still fighting the war back in 1860? And I said, what you guys don't understand is the blood was shed right here on our home territory. A lot of people didn't even know that what the war was about. Most of them didn't. But they lost their homeland. They lost their sons. It was just something that you can't put in words. You really can't. And the only thing that will tell the story is that sound, that music.
The music. Music will tell the tale. It's funny, you should, a friend of mine from New Jersey, we would talk about it. I was in the Navy. Good guy.
Yeah.
He said, what's the deal with you? I says, you got to understand one thing. The South was, it was wrong. It was wrong.
In some areas, they were wrong.
Yeah.
And other areas. But things could have been, if you look at it in strictly a historical way, there's a chance that all of those things would have been resolved without the shedding of all of that blood.
So I blame corporate is what I blame.
Yeah.
And you're right. I think everything will be resolved because, during the war, the regular Army soldier walking around on either side was going, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
You know, why am I fighting for this plantation owner? Mm-hmm. You know, what's the deal here? But be that as it may, the thing I told him is this one thing. The South, you know, both sides, you had, you know, they talk about Fort Pillow and different things. And, like, the truth be known about that, there's a whole lot more. You know, Forrest gets blamed for stuff that he didn't get.
That was not analyzed correctly.
The Library of Congress, just read the Library
of Congress. The winner gets all the spoils,
right.
You might
and
say.
And here's the point. He said, well, why are you Southerners so, a lot of you? I said, you got to understand. The North's not holier than thou. They did one thing. Lincoln did something that was horrible. That was with the first modern war that they actually were directed to go into the opposing country or whatever and destroy civilians, civilian targets, infrastructure. Yeah. They were... look at Sherman. People said, well, that didn't... look at Sherman. He did that 60-mile-wide path or 30-mile-wide path to the sea, burning and pillaging and burning and pillaging.
Yeah.
That was against, and it was against the world organizations that said, you're not supposed to do that. But before then, wars were, people would go out, and that's the way the Civil War started. People would go out to a field somewhere and watch them line up. That changed as it went on.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing is, both sides have got enough stuff to be damned for, so...
If you look at it on the other side, the heroic things that were done during that war were unbelievable.
That's what should be focused on, is the human aspect of the sacrifice of different folks. It's like I have a close friend. She doesn't understand why in the world I'm so pro-Forrest.
Mm-hmm.
Understand, I had kinfolk that were going to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
Hung.
Yeah, we all did.
The next day, if Forrest hadn't come in, he's a hero of Murfreesboro.
Yeah.
And even so far down the road, that has meaning for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I don't want that to disappear into the... It'll disappear in its own fog of history as time goes on.
I think we need to take a break.
Oh, do we? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's take a break. We'll be right back with Avon Lane.
From Sylvan Park Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street, it's The Truman Show on News Radio WGNS, FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and streaming online at WGNSradio.com.
Sylvan Park Restaurant on Northwest Broad, across from the Ford dealer, host of the Truman Show live broadcast.
It's family. I mean, it's like eating a meal with most of the people that you know. So you open at 6:30 in the morning.
And we close at 2:30 Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. 7:30 on Thursdays and Fridays. Close at 1 on Saturdays. 6 days a week at 6:30, serve breakfast. We want to thank Murfreesboro for supporting us, because if it wasn't for them coming in, we wouldn't be here.
Stop in for a great meal at Sylvan Park Restaurant on Northwest Broad, across from the Ford dealer.
We're celebrating our 140th year in business.
Bell Jewelers has a good, strong reputation of being the most trusted jeweler. We take great pride in that. Our watch and jewelry repair department is on site. Everything is done on our premises, under our control. We don't ship things off where things get lost, switched, stolen. It's just not going to happen.
Bell Jewelers, 821 Northwest Broad Street, here in Murfreesboro.
Be a HeartWalk hero and help us save lives from heart disease and stroke by attending the American Heart Association's 2019 Rutherford Heart Walk on Saturday, September 21st at 8 a.m. at Murfreesboro Medical Clinic. Your participation supports scientific research that makes longer, healthier lives possible. Don't miss this free, family-fun community event. Visit RutherfordHeartWalk.org to register today. The Heart Walk is sponsored by Vanderbilt Heart.
Holly Grove Baptist Church invites you to worship with them each Sunday and Wednesday. Holly Grove Baptist Church is a Bible-believing Southern Baptist church. We have wonderful teachers for Sunday school at 9:45 a.m., and Reverend Bob Mackey leads the church in worship at 11. We have Wednesday night activities for youth and adults beginning at 6:30 p.m. Holly Grove Baptist Church is on Holly Grove Road. Turn right off Highway 231 past Walter Hill School onto Holly Grove Road. The church is about 3 miles down on the left. We promise you'll find a warm welcome inside. Find out more at hollygrovebaptist.com. We have past sermons you can listen to and information about the church. Again, that's hollygrovebaptist.com. Also, listen weekly on News Radio WGNS for each week's sermon, Sundays at 12 noon. We're also on Facebook. Like our page and get updates on what's happening. Holly Grove Baptist Church, reaching out to offer hope. We look forward to seeing you soon at Holly Grove Baptist Church.
From the WGNSRadio.com News Center, a local news update with Ron Jordan.
Police are on the lookout for a person who killed a man in Murfreesboro before dawn Sunday morning. The man was found shot near the corner of Halls Hill Pike and Journey Drive. He was taken to the hospital, where he was pronounced dead. Detectives working to confirm his identity. Rutherford County Master Gardeners available to answer your questions and offer education at the Rutherford County Farmers Market every Tuesday and Friday, and the downtown Farmers Market every Saturday morning. Detention agent Anthony Tuttle said one question they continue to get.
Can I reestablish my tall fescue lawns? And yes, I mean, the weather like today, or temperature now, is a perfect opportunity to renovate those cool season lawns, or either go in and totally reestablish them.
Master Gardeners also offer free monthly classes at the Lawn Ball Library, offered the first Saturday of every month at 9 a.m. A motel is closed and guests are scrambling to find another place to stay in Laverne. State regulators shut down the Oasis Motel earlier this month because of safety violations. Several people who were living at the extended stay site are looking for another residence. Reports say the motel management is going after the former residents for September's rent. Gasoline in Tennessee is the seventh least expensive in the nation. Tennessee state average gas price is $2.26 per gallon for regular unleaded, which is the same price as last week's average, 14 cents less than a month ago and 33 cents less than a year ago. Today's national average is $2.56, 2 cents cheaper than last week, 11 cents cheaper than a month ago, and 28 cents cheaper than a year ago. The lowest price we could find in Murfreesboro was $2.06 a gallon. Follow us on Twitter at WGNS Radio. I'm Ron Jordan, News Radio WGNS.
On air, online at WGNSradio.com. On the go with our mobile apps. News Radio WGNS, Rutherford County's most trusted source for local news.
This is Danny Page. You know, I had a fire at my house a couple of years ago. It was mostly smoke damage, but if you've ever had to deal with smoke damage, it's not fun. My entire house had to be fumigated, and you sometimes don't realize what it'll do to mattresses. I had four bedrooms, and I had to replace all four mattresses. I looked around at a few of the high-end stores, and then I found Discount Mattress. This store is located at 1614 Northwest Broad beside La Siesta. I went in, I met the sales staff, and I found out They've been serving Middle Tennessee since 2001. I found out real quick that they carry some great well-known mattresses like Simmons, Englander, M. Lilly, and my favorite, the Bed Boss. Remember this, they all come in plastic. I ask you to do this. Do not buy until you come to Discount Mattress. They also have free delivery and old mattress removal. Come in, meet their friendly sales staff, give them a call, 615-907-6655. You will be so glad you did.
Good neighbor weather.
A few spotty showers and thunderstorms possible late this afternoon with a blend of clouds and sunshine developing high in the mid-90s. Tonight's slight chance for showers and storms, a low near 70. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 73.
Premier Six Theater on Broad and Jackson Heights, showing all of your favorite movies. Call their hotline, 896-4100, or go seeamovie.com. Popcorn, pop, fresh daily. Their movie hotline, 896-4100, or go seeamovie.com. Premier 6 on Broad in Jackson Heights.
From Sylvan Park Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street, it's the Truman Show on News Radio WGNS. FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and streaming online at WGNSradio.com.
And welcome back with Avon Lang. You know, Avon, I was thinking about you while we were off the air. I was watching one of the funniest movies, I guess, that's ever been produced, and it's called The Blues Brothers. And I was thinking about your group maybe playing behind chicken wire and those type things. It was one of the funniest scenes I think I've ever seen.
And as movies do, they always take things to the infinite limit. But there's some truths in there.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a funny movie. I love that movie. But I have played behind chicken wire. I was young.
You do look a little bit like John Belushi, too.
Well, that's all right. He's a good-looking guy. You know, I wish I could move like he did. Golly, doing those backflips.
Especially when those bottles were flying by his ear.
We played I remember back in the day, I think it was Eddie Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing guitar, and it was Joel Jernigan playing first guitar. I was playing, we had this Allman Brothers thing going on. But anyway, Eric Kilgore played organ. Paul Ducker was playing bass.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been a long time. There was a club over in Lebanon called the Century 100 or the Rainbow Room. I can't remember which. But it was an old gymnasium. You know how they used to do the gymnasiums just by themselves? Mm-hmm. No little outbuildings. You'd walk in and there's the floor. But that had a balcony around the top of it. And it had like a stage at one end of it. Well, we're loading in. I look at the stage and there's like chicken wire coming up on some 2x2 post up in front of us. And I asked the club owner and said, "What's that about?" And sawdust on the floor. I said, "They get a little rowdy in here and get throwing stuff and everything." I said, "Oh, yeah." I'm like about 19 or so.
You're not old enough to be in there.
Well, yeah. No, I didn't drink.
All right.
But just playing music. That never happened.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we're unloading the organ. Eric played a little Hammond. He was an organ player then. Mm-hmm. And he's passed on, but great guitar player, became a great guitar player. But Eric, we were unloading this little L100, I think it was, a Hammond organ. And we're rolling across the parking lot. It was gravel, so we had to pick it up more than anything. But there was this woman leaning up against the door as we walk in. And when I say that, she was probably in her 20s or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she had that look in her eye like she was challenged, we say now.
Yeah.
Back then, we would just say, "She ain't right."
You know, you
could just tell.
Yeah.
And she looks at the organ and goes, "What's that?" And Eric goes, "That's an organ." "What does it do?" "Oh, I play it." "You do?" He says, "Yeah, let me show you something." So he walks inside and plugs it in, warms it up, and he hits a big, beautiful chord on it, and she just looks at it, and her eyes get about as big as a saucer.
Mm-hmm.
And she throws her hands up and starts running all the way around the peripheral of that gymnasium, just, "Yeah!" You know, it's like, mm-hmm. "Oh, boy, it's going to be a fine time tonight." She never heard that before, but that was kind of weird. That was kind of a portent of things to come.
But we're going there and we play. You guys play in all kinds of venues. you never know what's going to show up playing.
No, you don't. Especially, you would think places that Ms. Vise in Manchester had a bad reputation, but I saw more trouble in country clubs than I did in Ms. Vise.
You're a kid.
Yeah. Some of the back in those days, some of the high dollar folks that pretty much get their way about what they want, and they call mm-hmm. the shots and do all that. By golly, they want this, or they want this, and they get a few drinks in them, and next thing you know, they're going to have what they want when they want it. And I've seen it more than once and more than one few places. But Vise, them old boys would come off the mountain, off Grundy, over in Grundy County and everything, mm-hmm. and they came in there and they behaved. Because Ms. Vi, she was an old carnival lady. Mm-hmm. She taught third grade school during the school seasons, and then in the
so
summer.
So you were playing in Grundy County?
Well, right next to Grundy County.
Oh.
We were, Hillsboro was where they called that little area there where Vi's lounge was. On the road to, on Highway 41, headed to Mont Eagle. And this was back.
So you had somebody actually guarding your cars and your. While you were in there playing, right?
Yeah, there's another story. I had a brand new van. Not brand new van. It was I can't afford nothing new. Mm-hmm. But you remember that van I had?
Yes, I do.
The city used it for a vice squad.
Yeah.
Pretty van. Had all that little porthole thing and all those mm-hmm. pretty colors. Anyway, I had that van. It was perfect for music because I could load everything up in it. You know, it was empty, mm-hmm. just carpeted. Well, first night I had the van, I drove it, parked it behind the club there, mm-hmm. go in and start playing, and go out on break, and my van's gone.
Oh, and surprise.
And I went, oh, no. And I went, so Ms. Vi called the sheriff's department, my van, somebody stole my van. She says, okay, honey, well, let me see what I can do. I said, yes, ma'am. Oh, you love Miss Vi. She was cool. Anyway, she went out there, and I noticed she was talking to four or five different folks. Mm-hmm. And about 20 minutes later, I go, there's my band shows up. So apparently she knew somebody that knew somebody. Says, leave the band alone. Bring back their band.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh, but that was notorious up in that area.
Yeah, it was.
Chop shops up there in the hills and stuff. And, you didn't park your van, especially a new car around over there. Yeah. That's the reason everybody drove an old beat-up car. He couldn't have a new one. It'd get ripped off.
You could write a book about some of the places you played.
Oh.
Because each one of them has their own particular environment that they just reach out and grab you.
Oh, yeah. That's the funniest things and some of the saddest things I've ever seen. I talked to musicians, friends. We need to sit down and write a bunch of anecdotal stories of what honky-tonking is really about. This stuff you see, you know, the Patrick Swayze thing. There's an element of that, but it wasn't that. You know, they do, you know, how Hollywood always makes things way over the top.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I didn't see much entertainment going on in the beer joints back when you and I were having to check every beer joint in Rutherford County, most of the time they were in pretty good shape. Every once in a while, we'd end up having to load two or three car full.
If the club owner called us, they needed us.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they had it under control, and they would keep it under control. But if we ever get a call, it was like, they need us. They didn't just call frivolously. Of course, they didn't want the hassle or the trouble or whatever because, mm-hmm. They don't want to get shut down if they're running a bad place.
But everybody knew everybody in those beer joints back then.
That's a whole different era, a whole different time.
Yeah.
You can't compare it now. It's I can't imagine the city police or the county, the things they have to endure and put up with. In some of these places and everything. But I don't think we have a real huge problem in this county. I don't know.
I think we have really good law enforcement here in this community.
We really do. And you know what? Kudos to you.
Not to me.
Well, 28 years of setting. How long was it? 28 years. You was there?
27. That of a sheriff.
Yeah, a sheriff. Yeah. I set the tone.
Well, you know,
do you remember the tradition,
the way it was? You know, a lot of times, unfortunately, one person gets either a lot of credit or maybe even a lot of bad. They're looked at in a negative way. But the truth of the matter is, when I was there, we all depended on each other. I never have said they worked for me. We all worked together. And it was such a great environment back then. Things were different than they are now.
That's the way things were.
Yeah.
Because anybody thinks they're doing it, they're the G-Haul big dog. And hey, look, a good manager is one that's smart enough to know that his people is what get things done. And if he gives them the tools and the training to do what they need to do, he's done his job, because they're the ones that are going to make him look really good.
Mm-hmm.
And for 27 years, they made you look really good.
We had some great times, and I can tell you the worst time that I can tell you that was ever involved with me personally, other than some of the murders that happened, is you and I had to answer a call years ago. And the joint had gotten completely out of hand. Mm. And you and I ended up over there. And there's probably 150, 200 people in there. And they'd gone crazy. 90% of them were drunk.
Oh, yeah.
And so as soon as we walked through the door, we were completely outnumbered. So like you would do back then, you would rack the chamber in your shotgun.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, that sound was much louder than
everybody could hear
at that time.
That was weird.
So
how that
people all started leaving, and unfortunately, one guy did not want to leave. So we talked to him and talked to him, and finally, we had to physically get him in the vehicle, and we got him into the drunk tank at the old sheriff's office at 400 West Main Street. And it was cold that night, but, you know, it wasn't anything that would be dangerously cold. And I still remember I took a screwdriver off of him.
I remember. It was a Phillips head screwdriver.
Yes, because it could have been used as a weapon against us. So I gave it to the dispatcher. And the next day I came in and asked him if they had given him that screwdriver back, because it was probably one of his work tools. And he said he won't be needing it. And I said, why? And it just kind of shocked me when he said that.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he had rolled over on his back and he had vomited and choked to death.
What they call aspirated?
Yeah. And he had choked to death. And I never will forget that. It's just one of those things you think back about it, and it really wasn't anything that we could have done any different, but sometimes some things just stand in your mind.
Yeah, it bothers you. It's like, you know, as time has gone on, you hope things were put in place. Of course, at that time, Bob, he would have gone back. He'd go back.
Bob Vanderbilt.
Yeah, he'd go back. He was the only one on dispatch, so he'd be at three, but he would. I remember he'd call us.
We had no jailers back then.
Right. He'd go back and check on them.
Yeah.
He'd go, you know, every hour or so, he'd go back and check.
Yeah. It just
but
showed it you
been
how things
great.
Changed.
It would have been great. We were trying to get cameras and stuff, you know, but the commission, we couldn't get the money. They wouldn't.
You were very limited at the resources that you had back then.
But you hope as time has gone on that you take those situations and you see how you can keep those things from happening.
Yeah.
And even then, with the thing that happened here recently with that suicide up in the federal, you know, that's so odd.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that would be the most cutting edge incarceration of a place there, that things would be, a person would be safe there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times I go, God, ain't nothing changed too much, has it?
You remember we had six cells in the male part upstairs,
right.
And six on one side, six on the other, and they all had each one. There would be four prisoners sleeping in each cell back then. So if you were to try that in today's time, you would be up the creek without a paddle, believe me. But it's just the times, as they change, things as a rule get better.
Yeah, as a rule they get better.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's all dependent on the spark plug, on the one who is calling, who is the man in charge, is how things, that's the one, it's at his feet. He's responsible.
Yeah.
No matter what happens, you know, it's like this was so sad about a policeman. When he goes to a call, if everything works out perfect, he's the hero. Everything, he's great. If anything happens that doesn't work out right, he's held accountable no matter what. Even if it wasn't his fault. That's one of the biggest dangers about being a policeman. It's like no matter what happens, you're the man.
But there were some great fun things happen. As you can remember, one of the prisoners was trying to escape in the second floor up there, and the windows were very small. I mean, there's no way you could get out there. Well,
amazed.
This guy went on a hunger strike and then soaked himself up where he'd be slick to get through there. Well, sure enough, he got all of it out of there, but his head. Yeah. His head was not going to get any smaller. And there he was dangling on that second floor.
I know.
And people from over there across where the post office was, they were just sitting there looking at him.
This is entertaining.
Well, I think we're probably out of time, Avon. Is there anything you wanted to say?
What was your guest that you...
Andy Herger. I don't know what happened to him, and I'm sure it was a logical mistake. That's okay, you know. That's what I like being over here at Sylvan Park. Everybody is your friend no matter what, and it's one of the friendliest places in the world to come to.
But you asked me something. Did I have anything? Everybody support your policeman.
Yeah,
support
your
sheriff's department.
Got to do that.
Your fire department and all that. They have a hard row to hoe.
Yeah.
And, and I tell you what, we need to be with this county. Everybody needs to pay for this county commission. They've got some decisions and stuff in the next few years that are extremely about the most important things of how this county is going to go and where it's going to go.
Especially that landfill problem we got.
We've got an incredible problem there.
Yeah.
And I hope the general public will start paying close attention. We can't have status quo.
Yeah.
Things have got to change, and I've heard some commission, I won't say who, say, well, status quo is what we need. We just need to stay the same. No, that ain't going to happen.
It's impossible.
It's impossible. Yeah. And I don't like it when I hear that.
Yeah.
I want to do things. And the thing is, everybody should have a call at this, not just the developers, but they got an important part of this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also the people that have to live next door to the development study. Mm-hmm. My biggest irritation with the commission and the planning department is this. Years back, we did these long-range planning things,
mm-hmm.
spent hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
As time goes on, they don't mean anything. It's like when we get to this 10 years down the road.
What are you running for?
I'm not running for nothing. I'm just running. I just want things to be done the way they said they were going to do it.
I'm a little suspicious about that.
Yeah.
Are you running for county executive? I mean, county mayor? Or what are you doing?
I played that game and got soundly whipped. Just say.
All right. What are you doing this weekend?
Let's say, well,
you're talking about the
battlefield. I think it's around 2:00. It's on the website of the battlefield.
What time are you going to play Dixie?
I
need to know what
we'll
time.
Play two or three times.
Oh, are you?
Oh yeah, that Yankee guy over Jim. He's a great guy. I'm picking at him now, but he's a good fella.
Yeah, I remember. They did one of these one time,
he said we
played all of the songs in that era. I said, did you play Dixie? Well, no. I said, you didn't play all the songs of that era.
We did. When I'm there, we did.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, as I look at him, you know, it's like, and he's a serious man, but he's an incredible ranger.
He does a great job.
Great
over there.
Job.
He really does.
and I really respect him. He's a pretty good guy for a Yankee. He's all right.
Yeah.
But anyway, playing to, I thought it was Friday. Well, Friday we're doing Truman Show.
Yeah.
And then Friday night I'm playing back at the Athens Family Restaurant on 8th Avenue in Nashville with Rick Joe.
Bless your heart.
And great Greek food.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be fun. That'll be fun.
All right. Thank you for stepping in,
No problem. Enjoyed it.
You've always been a good friend.
And never hurt anybody's feelings. I'm sorry.
All right, guys, we'll see you in the morning at 9, and we'll be talking about the Murfreesboro Symphony in the morning.
From Sylvan Park Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street, it's the Truman Show on News Radio WGNS, FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and streaming online at WGNSradio.com.